بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to Tasbihat al-Sujood, which is page number 9. We come to Tasbihat al-Sujood, i.e. the statements of Tasbih which a person makes in Sujood. And before we discuss the various types of Tasbih, there's a number of matters which pertain to the Tasbih. First of all, what is the hukam, what is the ruling of saying the Tasbih, i.e. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, in the Sujood? And the ruling is the same as the ruling of Ar-Ruku', that it is wajib. So, in the Sujood, a person has to say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la at least once in the Sujood. It is wajib. And the meaning of the Tasbih being wajib is if somebody does not say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la in the Sujood at least once, if he doesn't do this intentionally, if he leaves it out intentionally, then that rak'ah is not valid. So then he has to pray another rak'ah at the end. However, if he forgets to say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, then his rak'ah is valid, but he must make sujood sahu at the end. And saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, this is wajib. Saying it 3 times is adna al-kamal, i.e. the minimum level of perfection. And saying it more than 3 times, this is further reward. And the obligation of saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la at least once is taken from a number of hadith. First of them, the hadith of Uqbah ibn Amr radiyallahu an, he said, لَمَّا نَزَلَتْ فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ قَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ اِجْعَلُوهَا فِي رُكُوعِكُمْ. That when the ayah was revealed, فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ, and the ayah is in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اِجْعَلُوهَا فِي رُكُوعِكُمْ, that say this in your ruku', meaning سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْعَظِيمِ. وَلَمَّا نَزَلَتْ سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, and when the ayah سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى was revealed, and it's in Surah Al-A'la, then he said صلى الله عليه وسلم, اِجْعَلُوهَا فِي سُجُودِكُمْ, that make this statement in your sujood. Also, Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu narrates, and the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his sujood, he would say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So this is the first matter which relates to the tasbih of al-ruku', I saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, and the tasbih of sujood, I saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, that it is wajib. So if a person abandons it intentionally, then the rak'ah is not accepted, and therefore he has to make a whole rak'ah again. If he leaves it out of forgetfulness, then the prayer is valid, but he makes sujood sahu towards the end. And also, let's say if a person confuses between Subhana Rabbi al-A'la and Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. So in the ruku', instead of saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, he says Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. And in the sujood, instead of saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, he says Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, meaning he changes them over. What is upon him? There are 2 opinions regarding this. The first opinion is that the rak'ah is not valid because he has left out a wajib. So if he did it intentionally, the rak'ah is not valid. And if he did it out of forgetfulness, then he has to make sujood as-sahu. This is the first opinion. And Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah, he had this opinion. The second opinion is by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, and he said the obligation in the ruku' and the sujood is to make tasbih. jins tasbih. As long as a person makes tasbih, then this is enough. Regardless of whether a person says Subhan Rabbil Azim in the sujood or the ruku, or he says Subhan Rabbil A'la in the sujood or the ruku, the point is that he makes a tasbih. So as long as a person has made a tasbih, regardless of which one it is, then the rak'ah is valid. However, the correct opinion, وَالْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that a person has to say Subhana Rabbil Azim in the ruku', and a person has to say Subhana Rabbil A'la in the sujood. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon. And this is also the opinion of the madhab, i.e. the Hanbali madhab. That was the second issue. The third issue is that the sujood, this is the place in which a person should make dua. Any dua which a person has, in the salah there are two places in which a person makes dua. Firstly, in the sujood, and secondly, at the end of the salah before taslim. These are the two specific places in which the dua is made. In fact, making dua in the sujood, this is one of the reasons for it to be accepted. A dua is accepted all the time. But there are certain times and places and situations in which the dua is more readily accepted by Allah. So for example, when it is raining, or if a person is oppressed, or a person is ill, or if a person is traveling, or in the last third of the night, and also when a person is in sujood. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim, أَلَا وَإِنِّي نُهِيتُ أَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ رَاكِعًا أَوْ سَاجِدًا. He said, verily, I have been prevented from reciting the Qur'an in the sujood or the ruku. So we're not allowed to recite the Qur'an in the sujood or the ruku. He said, فَأَمَّا الرُّكُوعُ, as for the ruku', فَعَظِّمُوا فِيهِ الرَّبِّ, make ta'zeem of Allah in the ruku'. Ta'zeem meaning make tasbih of Him. وَأَمَّا السُّجُودُ فَاجْتَهِدُوا فِي الدُّعَى, and as for the sujood, then strive to make a lot of dua. فَقَمِنٌ أَن يُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ, because it will be readily accepted. Also, when a person is in the sujood, then in the salah, this is the closest time he is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ فِي السُّجُودِ, that the closest time a person is to his Lord is when he is in his sujood. فَتَحَرَّوْ فِيهِ الدُّعَى, so seek a lot of dua whilst you are in your sujood. And in one narration, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ الدُّعَى, make abundant dua in your sujood. And subhanAllah, a person feels this hadith. You will feel that in your salah, when you're in your sujood, you feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you do in any other place. So this is the third matter, that a person should make dua in the sujood. The next matter is that the dua which a person makes in the sujood, can he only make dua with the duas which are found in the Quran, or can he make any dua which he wants? The dua which a person makes in the sujood, is it restricted to a dua about the akhirah, or can a person make dua about something from the dunya, about his business, about his marriage, about his children? In the sujood, can a person make dua regarding another person, like, oh Allah, have mercy upon fulan, in Arabic, Allahumma arham fulanan, or cure him, and so on and so forth. And in this, the jamhur al-fuqaha, the majority of the fuqaha, they said that a person is allowed to make any dua in the sujood, whether it is ma'thur, i.e. it has been narrated from the Qur'an, or ghair ma'thur, or if it is a dua which a person is making from his own self, whether it's from the matters of the dunya or the matters of the akhirah. And the ulama of the Ahnaf, alayhim rahmatullah ajma'in, they considered this to be disliked. So they said that as for the dua which is made in the sujood, then it should be the duas of the Quran. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا and رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِيقْ قُلُوبَنَا, and so on and so forth. These duas which are found in the Quran, a person can only make dua in the sujood with these types of dua. However, the correct opinion and the knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that a person is allowed to make any dua in the sujood, whether it is a dua of the for the dunya, a matter from the dunya or matter from the akhirah, and whether it is in, from the Quran or if it is not from the Quran. And the evidences for this is the hadith which is been collected by Al-Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih and also Al-Imam al-Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثُمَّ لِيَتَخَيَّرْ مِنَ الدُّعَىٰ أَعْجَبَهُ إِلَيْهِ, that then a person should choose from the dua whatever he wants, whatever is whatever he feels like. In Sahih Muslim he said, ثُمَّ لِيَتَخَيَّرْ مِنَ الْمَسْأَلَةِ مَا شَاءَ وَمَا أَحَبْ, that then let a person make any request, meaning any dua, مَا شَاءَ, whatever he wants, وَمَا أَحَبَّ, and whatever he loves. Al-Hafidh, rahimullah, and as a side point, when we say Al-Hafidh, and we are explaining a hadith, who are we referring to? Who is Al-Hafidh? Naam, who knows? When we say Al-Hafidh said, I'm referring to the explanation of a hadith. Naam, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, always. When the ulama say, قال الحافظ, the Hafidh said, then they are referring to Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar when it comes to the hadith. Specifically, if it is a hadith from Sahih Bukhari, because he has the greatest explanation of Sahih Bukhari called Fathul Bari. So whenever they say Al-Hafidh said, then it refers to Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani Rahimullah. So Al-Hafidh, he said regarding this hadith, وَاسْتَدَلُّوا بِهِ عَلَىٰ جَوَازِ الدُّعَاءِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ بِمَخْتَارَ الْمُصَلِّي مِنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, that the scholars, they use these evidences as a proof of the permissibility of making dua in the salah from whatever a person wants, whether it is from the matters of the dunya or the akhirah. However, that which is better is that a person, after making tasbih, he makes some of the other tasbihat, and then he makes dua from that which is mentioned in the Quran, and then if he wants, he makes dua, any other dua he wants. And then the last issue to discuss before we go on to the types of tasbihat is it permitted for a person to make dua in the sujood in another language apart from Arabic? So can a person make dua in English and he's in the sujood in his salah, or in Urdu, or in French, or in Farsi, or whatever language a person speaks? And in reality, this is an issue in which there is a great difference of opinion amongst the fuqaha. And in Al-Mawsu' Al-Fiqhiyya, and a quote from it, the fuqaha and the madhahib, they differed. So the ahnaf, alayhim rahmatullah, they said it is makruh. It is disliked for a person to make dua in the sujood in a language other than Arabic. And they base this upon the statement of Umar radiallahu anhu, أنه نهى عن الرطانة العاجم, that Umar radiallahu anhu, he forbade رطانة العاجم, the speaking of the عجم are the non-Arabs. And here the meaning of رطانة is the foreign language. So Umar radiallahu anhu, it was hated to him that Muslims speak a language other than Arabic. And this is what they base the evidence on. In fact, the Ahnaf alayhim rahmatullah, they say it is makruh whether it's inside the salah or outside of the salah. So generally, dua, generally, they say it should be made in Arabic. This is the language of the Quran. This is the language that the du'as were revealed in. And therefore, a person should make it in the Arabic language, whether he's in the salah or out of the salah. As for the Malikiyah, then they said that inside the salah, in the sujood, it is haram. It isn't allowed for a person to say anything in the salah other than the Arabic language. The Shafi'i alayhim rahmatullah, they said du'as are two types. The first type of du'a is al-ma'thur, that which has been mentioned in the Quran. They said these types of du'a, if a person is not able to speak Arabic, he doesn't know Arabic, he doesn't know any type of du'a, then he can say it in his own language. So if a person doesn't know, for example, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, he doesn't know Rabbi Ghfirli, he doesn't know Arabic, then it is allowed for him to say it in his own language. But if a person who knows Arabic says it, then his salah is invalid. And as for the dua which has not been narrated, meaning a dua that a person wants to make from his own self, they said it is not allowed. And the contemporary modern day scholars, they have two opinions about this. Those who said it is permitted for the one who cannot speak Arabic. And then those who said it is not permitted. And the ulama who said that it is permitted for the one who cannot speak Arabic, they said for two reasons. The first reason is that the closest time or place that a person is to his Lord is when he is in his sujood. So if this is now the closest situation in which a person is to his Lord, and now this miskin, he has a dua that he needs to make to Allah, and he isn't able to speak Arabic, are we going to say to him, look, go learn Arabic, go spend years learning Arabic, and then you can make this dua? So therefore, this virtuous position for him, he cannot make dua in it. This is the first point. The second point is that they said Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, that Allah does not burden a soul more than it can bear. So now if this person, if he's not able to speak the Arabic language, are we now going to burden him to go learn the Arabic language and until then he's not able to make dua in the sujood? So because of these two matters, the ulama, some of the ulama, amongst them Ibn Baz, amongst them Sheikh Al-Fawzan, if my memory is correct, they said it is permitted. So these are matters which relate to the sujood. So we come to the first tasbih, and it is Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la is from the hadith of Hudhayfa and Sahih Muslim. And it contains three words, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi and al-A'la. The meaning of Subhana is from at-tasbih. And at-tasbih, it means at-tanzih. At-tanzih, in English, it means to glorify Allah above any deficiency or weakness. This is the meaning of Subhanallah or Subhana Rabbi. Subhan or tasbih means that you are glorifying Allah above any type of weakness or deficiency. And there are three types of deficiencies that we glorify Allah above, we free Allah from. Firstly, an attribute of deficiency in of itself. So when it comes to Allah, sleeping is imperfection and weakness. So we glorify Allah that He does not sleep. Also, al-da'f, being weak. Being weak, this is an imperfection when it comes to Allah, and therefore we glorify Allah that He does not become weak. Also, becoming tired. Also, for example, having a son or a partner. Like the kuffar said, all of these are attributes of naqs, of imperfection, so we free Allah from this. Second type of imperfection is the attributes which Allah has, they do not have any imperfection in them. So for example, Allah is Al-Alim, the All-Knowing. His knowledge does not have any imperfection. Allah is Al-Qawi, the Almighty. His might and His strength does not have any deficiency in it. Allah is Al-Ali, the Most High. His highness does not have any deficiency in it. This is the second type of deficiency. The third type of deficiency which we free Allah from is that He has, nothing is comparable to Allah. Laysa kamithli shay. There is nothing which is equal to Allah. And Rabbi, Subhana Rabbi, means my Rabb. And the word Rabb, it is, in English it's translated as being Lord, but it contains three main attributes, that Allah is Al-Khaliq, the absolute creator. He is Al-Malik, He is the absolute owner. And He is Al-Mudabbir, He is the absolute controller. This is the meaning of Al-Rabb. Al-Khaliq, Al-Malik, Al-Mudabbir. The creator, the owner, and the one who has absolute control. And then we describe Allah, our Lord, as Al-A'la. And this word Al-A'la, it contains the attribute of Al-Ulu.
And al-ulu means being above, being elevated. This is the meaning of al-ulu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has this attribute of al-ulu, of being above, in His that and in His sifat. Meaning Allah in His essence, He's above. He's above the heavens and He's above the arch. And also in His sifat, in His attributes, every description, every attribute of Allah is elevated. It is complete and perfect. As for Allah being above in His that, in His essence, then there are seven different ayat in the Quran which mention Allah is above. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, the most merciful, He rose above the arsh. And there are seven different ayat in the Quran which mentions the ulu of Allah, that Allah is above when it comes to His that. As for Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, he said there are over 1,000 evidences of the Quran and the ahadith, and also from logic and also from the statement of the sahaba, which prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His that, He is above the creation and above the heavens and above the arsh. And also in His sifat, every attribute of Allah, it is elevated. It is the most high and the most complete. So we have to affirm that Allah is above and at the same time He is near. So He is above us by His that, but He is near us when it comes to His knowledge and His hearing and His help and support and the fact that He answers the dua. And the fact that we say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Allah glorified is our Lord, al-A'la, the most high, and you say it when you're going down into sujood, then this is appropriate. Because when a person goes into sujood, number one, you're going down. So you remember that whilst I am going down, my Lord, He is the most high. Secondly, when a person goes down, now he's in a position of weakness. Na'am. So when you're on the floor, this is a position of weakness. And therefore a person remembers that even though I am below and I am weak, however, my Lord, Jalla fil Ula, He is al-A'la. He is the most high, He is the most perfect, and He is the most complete. And this is meaning Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. The second tasbih is Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdihi. Meaning there is another word, wa bihamdihi. And the word alhamd, it is to ascribe perfection to Allah. Ithbatul kamal lillah mahabbatan wa ta'zima. You are ascribing perfection to Allah out of love for Him and veneration for Him. And when these two things come together, Subhana and Alhamd, this is complete praise of Allah. Because when you say Subhana, you are freeing Allah from deficiency and imperfection. When you say Alhamd, then you are ascribing perfection for Allah. And this is the best type of description. That you, first of all, you free Allah from deficiencies, and then secondly, you affirm perfection for Allah. And then after this, there's another tasbih that a person can make, and it is Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaika Wal Ruh. This tasbih a person can also make whilst he's in his ruku. So in the ruku, you can say Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaika Wal Ruh, and also you can make it in the sujood. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should say this, as narrated by Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih Muslim. This tasbih contains three names of Allah. Subuh, from the names of Allah. Quddus is from the names of Allah. And Ar-Rab is from the names of Allah. And the meaning of Subuh is from Subhana. So Subuh, meaning the one who is free from every weakness, imperfection and deficiency. Or Subuh means the one who is worshipped by At-Tasbih. So only in Islam and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipped by saying Subhanallah. There's no other religion, there's no other god, a false god, which is worshipped with this dhikr by saying Subhanallah, Subhana Rabbi, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the worship of the angels and also the worship of the Muslims amongst the humans and the jinn. So the angels, they worship Allah in two ways. The ibadah of Allah is two, by making tasbih and by making sujood. This is the worship of the angels. And also the worship of the humans is making tasbih and sujood, and then the other types of dhikr and al-ibadah. So this is the meaning of subbuh, either from subhana, meaning free from every type of imperfection and deficiency, or the one who is worshipped bit tasbih. Then you say quddus. And quddus is also from the names of Allah, like in the ayah, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ الْمَلِكَ الْقُدُّوسِ السَّلَامِ. So quddus is also from the names of Allah. The meaning of al-quddus is al-tahir al-mubarak, i.e. the one who is pure and the one who is blessed. This is the meaning of quddus, meaning the one who is sacred. So whether it's translated as being sacred or being pure, then all of it is correct. And then Rabb. And Rabb is also from the names of Allah Jalla fil Ula, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And we said Ar-Rabb is the one who is described with three attributes, that he is Al-Khaliq, Al-Malik, Al-Mudabbir. He is the creator, the absolute creator, the absolute owner, and the absolute controller. And he is Rabbul Malaika. Malaika, this word is the plural of Malak, and Malak means angels. And the angels are those creation whom Allah created out of light. Khalaqahumullah min nur. Allah created them out of light. Min alamun ghaybi. And they are from the world of the unseen. La ya'asoon Allah ma amarahum. And they do not disobey Allah in that which He has commanded them. Wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun. And they do whatever Allah has commanded them. And then He said, Warruh. And Arruh is the name which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Jibreel alayhi salam. So Jibreel alayhi salam, he has four names: Jibreel, Jibra'il, Al-Amin, and Ar-Ruh. All of these are from the names of Jibreel. Nazala bihi Ar-Ruh Al-Amin. Allah said, Nazala bihi Ar-Ruh Al-Amin. We'll suffice with that bi-idhnillah until next lesson. And again, I remind the brothers once again that the point behind learning this knowledge is to implement this knowledge. Otherwise, there's no point. So what you have to do is you have to memorize these types of adhkar. Part of being a Sunni and part of being a Salafi is that you worship Allah like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to worship Allah. So the meaning of being a Sunni or being from Ahl Hadith or being a Salafi isn't just you have this name, but you have to worship Allah like the Prophet used to worship Him. You have to worship Allah like the Salaf used to worship Him Azza wa Jal. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his salah, he never only used to make one type of dua or one type of dhikr. He used to make various types of adhkar and various types of dua, and a Muslim should memorize all of them and then use these in his salah. And the only way for a person to remember these is if he says it. And for this reason, as I said previously, does anybody ever forget Surah Al-Fatiha? Nobody does. Does anybody need to revise Surah Al-Fatiha? No. Why? Because you're always saying it in your salah. So similarly, if you memorize these and then you say them in your salah, then inshallah you won't forget them.